All right. So, here's our passage, Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. And if you're able to, I'd invite you to stand. This is God's Word. You remember we were just talking about how whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and how you need to believe and you need to call, and how it's the work of the Spirit of God is doing this in someone's heart. But now he goes in verse 14, and he gets really practical, and he gets in our faces. So, Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ. Thank you so much. Please be seated. By definition then, a missionary is someone who is sent. That's what mito means in the Latin language. To send. A missio is a mission. It's a sentness. A missionary is somebody who is sent. This is the passage. This is the missionary passage. But if it is true that by definition a missionary is someone who is sent to carry a message, then is it not true that every single Christian is a missionary? Are you sent to carry a message?
Yes.
Then you're a missionary.
And I do.
Amen. Keep on. Amen. Keep on. Keep on. That applies to every one of us. Except, of course, anyone in the room who is not yet a follower of Jesus. Now, I know you guys, and as far as I know, you all are followers of Jesus. I praise God for each one of you that you are a follower of Jesus, but you realize that if that is true, that you're a follower of Jesus, that means this applies to you. No excuses. This is God's word for you today. Now look, if you were not a follower of Jesus, if you could sit there and say, you know, I'm not really a Christian today, so this doesn't really apply to me, I would still say, yeah, but we want you to be a follower of Jesus, and we're praying you will become a follower of Jesus, and when you do, this will apply to you. Because this is for everyone who follows Jesus. And we want everyone to follow Jesus. So, if it doesn't apply to you now, it will apply to you soon, but it does apply to you now. So, look at me. That means this is talking to you. Okay? That means this very definitely applies to you and to me. So, we're here again, still, in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, this crazy passage of Scripture that talks about the faithfulness of God, about the doctrine of election. And it's just been very strange how it works. Chapter 9, I called God's royal mandate for his chosen remnant. It was the doctrine of election. And in chapter 9, if you remember, it was all about how God chooses. God elects. And he did it before time began, and it's all up to him, and it's not at all up to us. Doesn't matter. God's the chooser. And I said, don't go too fast. Because just because God is the sole chooser doesn't mean that you have no choices to make. Because chapter 10 is all going to be about the choices that you have to make. And if that bothers you, once again, talk to Andy. Sometime he'll get it. Or if he doesn't, I won't. Listen. God has a message that He has called you to share, that He has sent you to message. If chapter 9 is about God's royal mandate for His chosen remnant, then chapter 10 is about God's redemptive message for His chosen saints. It's all about the gospel here in chapter 10. And so we need to think about this. About some of it has to do with responses to the message. How people respond to the message that is given to them. Either they do it in a way that leads to their salvation, or else they respond in a way that leads to their damnation. But they must respond. They will respond. But then some of this has to do with the message itself. It's focusing on Jesus and His righteousness. The gospel itself. What is it? What is this message? What is this good news? And so I just want to share with you four points, four ideas about this missionary thing that we have, this mandate that we have as missionaries of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, number one, the missionary's mark. Mark, meaning like, you know, target or bullseye. You know, missing the mark means missing the bullseye, missing the target. What is the mark that a missionary is aiming for? He's looking for the salvation of people through a faith that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what he wants. That's what she wants. This missionary wants to see a faith that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, resulting in salvation. That's the bullseye. That's the mark. It's what every missionary is aiming for. It's what every local evangelist is shooting for. It's what you are reaching after when you are witnessing in your life. You want to see someone who doesn't know Jesus come to know Jesus. And you want to see someone who doesn't believe come to believe. And the way you know they've come to really believe with saving belief is that they begin to confess that faith, confessing the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord. That's the mark. That's what missionaries are shooting for. Which is why, if you pay attention to what the Southern Baptist Convention actually talks most about when it comes to our missionaries, we talk about the number of baptisms that have happened overseas, and we talk about the number of churches that have been planted overseas. Or baptisms and churches that have happened here in North America. Whether it's the International Mission Board, which is the, you know, worldwide branch of Southern Baptist Missions, or whether it's the North American Mission Board, which is right here in North America, you know, United States and Canada. What we really are focusing on these days, most intensely, is baptisms and churches. There was a time from probably about 1940, about World War II, up till really about 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when we focused on things like the number of outreach missionary centers we started to feed the poor, the number of things that we did to help people in disaster relief, and just a whole lot of other things, okay? And we still do a lot of those things, but we don't spend nearly as much time talking about it when we get together. When I say we, I mean the Southern Baptist big shots, okay? Or pastors of churches, or actually gathering of Southern Baptists. We focus on baptisms and churches. Do you know why that is? In the New Testament, you cannot find any disaster relief ministries. Well, you can find actually an attempt to help believers in the midst of a famine by collecting money. That happens. But as far as like a well-oiled, well-put-together disaster relief ministry, now Southern Baptists have about the best. It's either us or the Red Cross, okay? But one of the things we've come to see is that although that makes sense to people, and we should keep on doing it because it allows us to talk to folks about Jesus, just cleaning the mud out of someone's basement is not what Jesus sent us to do. Now, cleaning the mud out of someone's basement will allow us to talk to them about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and then folding them into a church family, then praise God, let's do that. But the mark is we want to see those people come to a real personal faith in Jesus Christ that then eventuates in speaking with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, showing that by being baptized in water and being baptized into a church and going on and serving the Lord in conjunction with a church. Do you know why? Because that's New Testament Christianity. A lot of the other focuses and priorities that not just Southern Baptists, but really all kinds of Christians have given themselves to over the last, I don't know, couple centuries, are not the same thing as what you read about in the New Testament. The missionary's mark is salvation by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. And then that calling on the name of the Lord Jesus is to be done as a baptism and is to be part of the founding of new churches. That's the way it is. Or the strengthening of existing churches. But one thing we have absolutely stopped doing, we actually never did too much as Southern Baptists. Other kinds of evangelical Christians have done this horribly. That is, talk to someone about becoming a Christian, lead the person in a prayer of faith in Jesus, and then send them off. Say, okay, now you're saved. See ya. Bye. That's not New Testament evangelism. That's not fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission is go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded. That's the Great Commission. And what's God's plan for teaching new believers how to obey everything that God commanded? It's called the local church. In other words, if we're not getting new believers into churches, then we're not doing the Great Commission. We're doing something short. So what's the missionary's mark? It's the salvation of the lost people by preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel with them, so that they will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance for salvation, that they'll do that in baptism and become part of a church. Anything short of that is less than what the Lord wants from us. Okay. Let's keep going. Here's the second point. All right? The missionary's method. That's preaching. Preaching. Verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now here's our problem, okay? What you and I think about preaching, what we have in our heads when we hear the word preaching, may not at all be what the Bible has, what the Lord has in His mind. When I hear preaching, when I hear the word preaching, it goes like this. Somebody's standing up at the front of a building talking to a bunch of people like I'm talking to you right now. And he's speaking really loud and he's waving his arms and he's telling people to come to Jesus. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that, by the way. That's a great thing to do. But that's not preaching necessarily. If you want to get a biblical picture of preaching, it goes something like this.
Gather around, I have an announcement. I have something I need to tell all of you. Come here, I want to tell you. I have an announcement to make. Now here's my proclamation. Jesus is the Lord. And if you want to know more about what that means, let's go talk. Or maybe it's not Christian preaching at all. Maybe it's just like political preaching. Come to the center square. I have a message from the king. This word preaching is the word that would be used for like a town crier. A guy who's got a big voice, who can make his voice heard so he can say something that people need to hear. So what does this mean? What's the method that God has in mind? Is it just one kind of public speaking? I don't think so. The method is one Christian communicating to one non-Christian what God has done and what God is doing in Jesus Christ. Preaching. Preaching means the same thing as just communicating, announcing. A preacher is an announcer. A proclaimer. Now, listen to the progression of what he's saying here as he talks about the preaching that is or isn't happening. How then will they call on him? That is, to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, that's the mark. That's the goal. That's what we want. We want people to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way, and we'll know it's a saving calling on Jesus by the fact that they're being baptized into churches as they're calling upon the name of the Lord. Well, how are they going to call on him if they have not believed in him? You see, that's the choice that's in the heart. We talked about this in Sunday school. The choice in the heart is the choice to believe. Yes, I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I do believe that He came for me. Yes, I do believe that I was a sinner and did not measure up to what God wanted for me. But I do believe that Jesus came for me, a sinner, so that I could be accepted by God. Yes, those choices in the heart, that belief has to happen. They can't call on Him unless they believe first. How are they going to believe? How are they going to call on Him unless they believe? And how are they going to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? Have you ever heard somebody trying to explain a planning process to you and say, you start your planning by thinking about what your end goal is and then working backward? That's exactly what Paul's doing right here, right? What's his mark? What's his end goal? His end goal is the salvation of people as they confess Jesus Christ as Lord, call upon the name of the Lord, and are folded into churches through baptism. That's the goal. How's that going to happen? Well, they got to believe. So back up. How are they going to call upon Him unless they believe? But then you have to ask, how are they going to believe? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Now here's what's a little different for us, okay? Some missionaries are what we call cross-cultural missionaries. This is like what happened when Saul and Barnabas, before Saul changed his name to Paul, they were there in Antioch teaching and preaching with people, and the Spirit of God said, take Saul and Barnabas and set them aside and lay hands on them and send them out. And that was the first missionary trip, right? So that was cross-cultural ministry. That was leaving one city and going somewhere else to go find people who've never heard. Okay?
Now, not that there weren't plenty of people in Antioch who had never heard. There were still. Antioch was a massively large city. It was the largest city in that part of the Roman Empire. There were still plenty of people in Antioch who had not heard. But the Spirit of God seemed to think, now I want you to go somewhere where there's nobody at all. So, take these two and send them. So, what do you make of yourself? Have you been sent cross-culturally? There's only one person in the room that I know of who was sent across the country to come to Dundalk to preach. You know who that is? Come on now. Who do you know that was sent from Kansas City to Baltimore? So in that way, I'm kind of like a missionary, okay? And that makes you kind of like a missionary kid in a weird way, okay? Not exactly the same thing at all. It would really be cross-cultural if I went to another culture where they didn't speak the language or where they didn't wear the same kind of clothing or maybe they didn't have electricity or whatever. That'd be really cross-cultural. But the point is that God sends people. It's hard for us to imagine this because most of us are just where we grew up. You know? We're not aware of the fact of being sent somewhere.
Maybe they would have kept Jesus in school and not taken God well.
Maybe. I think it's just probably just a fact of, it's just an unavoidable result of the fact that we're just living life. You know? And what God sent me here to do today is to remind you, you are a sent one. You have been put in the place where you are so that you can share a message. That's what God had in mind. That's what He still has in mind. And if you're thinking to yourself, how can I have a message to share? I only speak to three people all week long. You know what? Most of us speak to more than that. But even if all you do is speak to three, then you still are to be having Jesus on your lips. Listen, whatever's on your lips will be whatever's on your heart. Isn't that true? Do you ever have to convince a grandparent to talk about their grandchildren? Oh Lord, I know I should do a better job of talking more about my grandbaby, so Lord, help me to be more of a missionary for my grandchildren. They don't have to decide that. Here, look at my stack of pictures. Well, it's no longer a stack in a wallet. Now, I got 37,000 photos on my phone of my grandbabies, and I'm going to show you every last one of them in the next 2 minutes. Because that's the way grandparents are. And that's not bad. That's good. But what I'm saying is, should we not have the same zeal to share the one who saves our souls? That we just want to talk to people about Jesus. We can't avoid talking to people about Jesus. This is the missionary's method. Just talking to folks about Jesus. That's preaching. So you see the word preaching here in this text, and you think, okay, well, when someone's preaching, someone has to be sent. What is this? Is this time for the preacher to give an invitation and ask people to surrender to the call to missions? Well, now that you bring it up, sure. Let's do that, okay? God might call someone here to take what's left of your retirement and spend it in another country for the sake of the gospel. You know, He calls missionaries out of churches just like this all the time. Right?
Make sure that money is going to go where it
should. Well, sure, but I'm not even thinking about money. I'm talking about these people. Maybe you. Going to Irian-Daya or somewhere.
What about right here?
Yeah. Well, okay, what about right here? You go on and keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on sharing the good news. Absolutely. But all I'm saying is, don't think to yourself, wait a minute, I'm too old. I can't go somewhere. If I were to end my life as an 85-year-old man who just moved to, like, let's say Irian Jaya, for that matter. You know what Irian Jaya is? They used to call it Papua New Guinea. Yeah, there are parts of California that are...
There are countries that are over in
sure,
already.
Absolutely.
You don't have to go over there.
You don't have to, except if God calls you to. See, remember what I said? I said that there were plenty of people in Antioch. Paul and Barnabas did not need to go somewhere else, except the Lord said, send them. You know? And this has been the Lord's way of doing things for, well, the entirety of Christian history. He puts his hands on certain ones and says, okay, you go somewhere else. But if God has to put his hand on you to send you somewhere else, then that means God has put his hand on you to make you busy right here. It doesn't mean that God is ignoring you and he's okay with you just, you know, kind of going through your life and not caring much about who gets saved. No, the Lord has sent all of us to proclaim the news. That's the missionary's method. Preaching, telling, and it's not just that cross-cultural missionary in Irian Jaya. Although, to finish the sentence, if I die, if you hear that I've lost my mind when I'm 80 years old and have resigned the membership, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dundalk, and gone to be a missionary in Irian Jaya, and I die in the jungle there, just know that I will die happy. Okay? I want to live for Jesus, and when I die, I want to die for Jesus.
Amen.
And I just think that mindset is a mindset. That's not a superstar Christian mindset. That's just a Christian mindset. And I'm inviting you, if you no longer have that mindset anymore, it's kind of simmered down and you've gotten a little bit boring or maybe a little discouraging. Maybe there's been too much time and too much difficulty and too much pain. And you're just like, you know, I just need to get through the next day or maybe the next year. And Lord, help me. Listen, you never know what God might do. You never know what God might do. Because this is what missionaries are. They're people who are sent to share a message. And if you want to meet a missionary, there's one sitting within 10 feet of you. You got one right there. You turn around and look at my daughter, Priscilla. See her? She's a missionary. Skyla, turn around, look back at Mr. John. That's a missionary. Right? Every last one of us. Every last one of us sent to share a message, to proclaim the good news, to announce that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He has lived for us, He has died for us, He has risen again for us, and He's coming back for us. And until He comes back, He wants us to use the old King James word, occupy till I come. In other words, get busy, stay busy till He comes. All right, here's the third point. The missionary's mourning. It's the word rejection. They have not all obeyed the gospel, Paul says in verse 16. And once again, he quotes scripture to talk about it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he's heard from us? Remember what I said to you? This passage of scripture, this part of scripture, begins with pain and ends with praise. Go back to chapter 9. Verse 1. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when we went through this passage of Scripture? I pointed out to you there's five different ways of him saying, I really, 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 really mean this. He's speaking the truth. He's doing it in Christ. He's not lying. His conscience bears him witness and does in the Holy Spirit. Five different ways of saying, I really mean this. What does he really mean? That I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ. I would go to hell. For the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh, the Israelites, if they could just save them somehow. The Lord wants you and me to have a personal stake in the salvation of others. He wants us to rejoice when they come to Jesus. And He calls on us to grieve when they don't come to Jesus. This is the missionary's mourning. People don't always say yes to Jesus. In fact, the majority of people say no to Jesus. So this is where you might say to yourself, well, preacher, I didn't come to church today so you could tell me that I should get busy doing something for God so I could feel bad. I did just preach that, didn't I? Martha's going to kill me for this. She was crying to me last night, saying, I hate being a burden. I hate feeling like I'm doing nothing but slowing you down.
Are you talking about
Kelsey? No, I'm talking about Monica, my wife. Because this last couple of weeks have been kind of crazy. I haven't gotten much done. I've been just trying to take care of her, you know. And I told her, why don't you ask me later, okay? I told her when I married you 30 years ago, I married you for this. We have rejoiced in each other for 30-something years now. There's been a lot of laughter. There's been a good little bit of romance. There are 6 kids, so you know there's been some kind of something going on. I adore that girl. I was looking at her face yesterday and I was thinking about the day when she walked in the back of that classroom at Old Forge Road Baptist Church. I saw her face and I was done. There are great joys in the world. And there are great griefs in the world. And the truth is, you're not going to have great joy if you're not also going to have great grief. And if you feel like, how can I follow the Lord if the Lord tells me that I'm going to be mourning over those who don't choose to follow Jesus? All I can tell you is that if you don't care enough to mourn over those who don't follow Jesus, then you don't care enough to rejoice over those who do follow Jesus. It's just the nature of caring about people and caring about the things in your life. So I'm asking you to think about yourself as a missionary. And I want you to keep in your mind what the missionary's mark is. That's the salvation of people who are calling upon the name of the Lord. Because of your witness. And I want you to keep in your mind what the missionary's method is. That you just got to talk to people. You got to preach. Not preach like yell and scream and stomp and spit necessarily, but you got to talk to people. You got to communicate with them. But I want you to keep in your mind the missionary's warning. This is part of God's plan. He wants you to care enough to hurt when it's time to hurt. You can't read verses 1 to 5 in chapter 9 without reading the end of chapter 11. Because you have to. Chapter 11, verse 33. I told you, this whole section begins with pain and ends with praise. Yeah, I can't tell you about the pain without talking about the praise. Okay? Listen to verse 33 again in chapter 11. Okay? And the next few verses after that. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Listen, the missionary's mourning. Rejection of the message, but that's not the end. That's not the end. So here's the missionary's motto. This is the fourth point. It's just a simple schematic here. If I had the whole system working, I would just put it in front of you. It's the word with an arrow to the word hearing, with an arrow to the word faith. Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. The Word of Christ. What does that mean? The Word of Christ. Let me give you three possible suggestions about what it might be talking about. It could be talking about the thing that I always heard that it was talking about as I was growing up, which is, well, come on, boy, it's the Bible. What's wrong with you? It's the Word of God, man. It's the Word of God. Yes. The question is, well, amen. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. But is that what Paul was talking about? I'm thinking that's not primarily the thing that Paul was talking about because he was busy writing the Bible. So it's not the first thing he has on his mind when he's saying the Word of Christ. What is the Word of Christ? It could mean the Word that Jesus Christ spoke, like all the red letters in your Bible. That's what that could mean. So that would be of as in possessive. It is the Word that Christ spoke. It's the Word that belongs to Christ. That could be what it means. Or it could mean the word about Christ. The message about Christ. Like, have you heard word of what happened in Washington, D.C. today? The way we use the word of. It's the way they did it in the Greek language too. The word about Jesus. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. I think it's that third one. It's not just quoting words that Jesus supposedly spoke or did speak. It's not just quoting words that happen to be in the Bible somewhere. It's sharing the message of Jesus. That's where faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing that message. So the question then would be, what does it take to get people to hear the message? How do you get people to hear it? How do you get them to listen? You just get that big stack of nice, crisp $20 bills and say, if you give me 20 minutes, I'll give you 20 bucks. I wouldn't suggest that's the best way to do it. How do you get them to listen? This is how. You love them. And when you love them and they can see you loving them, they'll listen to you. I've seen this over and over again, and so have you. That when people can see you loving them, they'll care about what you have to say. They may not always like what you have to say, but they'll listen to it. Because they've seen you love them. The Apostle Paul, when he was speaking to whether it's the Romans or the Thessalonians or who are the Corinthians, if you just pay attention to the things in between the lines there. Okay? A lot of times we look into Paul's letters and we go, I'm going to get me some doctrinal theological truth about and learn some more information here. Don't do that. I mean, there's absolutely do it, but don't just do that. Notice the relationship that he had with these people. He said to the Thessalonians, I have cared for you like a nursing mother cares for her infant. If I want people to listen to me, I got to love them. And I don't do enough, nearly as good enough job as I need to. Would help me. If you want people to listen to you, got to love them. That's the way it is. If you want people to hear the message, then you have to convince them that the messenger loves them. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Isn't that interesting? That the message that you're giving to them is the most important message in the whole universe. It's the message about Jesus Christ. But they won't care about the message unless they see us caring about them. Mercy. Now look, I am not putting down the importance of the Bible. Okay? Please do not hear me saying that. Hopefully you know me well enough by now to know that. That's not what I mean. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe that we are called to be people of the book. I believe that we are called to meditate on the Word of God day and night. I believe it is for our blessing and for our joy and for the salvation of the people that we know that we would fill our minds and our hearts and our lives with the Word of God. All I'm saying is that I've never had much success in my life helping someone get closer to Jesus by telling them what new insight I discovered in my quiet time as I was studying the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Now other Christians might be into that. But unbelievers, they don't care. The way I said they don't care made it sound like I was putting them down. I'm not putting them down. The reason why they don't care about Jesus is because they are lost. The reason why they don't care about the Word of God is because they don't know the God of the Word. Now, the people that worry me are the people who say they're Christians, but they don't care about the Bible. Then those are the people that really I'm worried about, because I don't think they're saved. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just a playing around with the whole Christianity thing. Because if you really know Jesus, then you want to know Him better. And if you don't have a thirst and a hunger and a passion to know Jesus better than us, it scares me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
It scares me. So look, this is what is here. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. How is the message of Jesus to be into the ears and into the hearts of the people that you know? People talk about what they care about. And people who come to care about you will come to care about the things you care about. Now the reality is that if you meet Joe Bob today and it takes them about 2 years to figure out if you really care about him, In the process of those 2 years, he'll probably figure out that you're a Christian. You may even talk about the fact that you're a Christian. And you may or may not have a conversation about how much Jesus means to you. It might take 3 years, or 4 years, or 5 years. Isn't that the way friendships go? Things just happen when they happen. The Lord asks you and me to have our hearts wide open to people. We don't know when the opportunity is going to present itself. In fact, we don't know that we'll even recognize the opportunity when it does present itself. Because we may be talking about something else that doesn't even seem to be related to Jesus, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're in the middle of a conversation about the Lord. And you don't even know how that happened. Is your life open to people? Are you sharing with people? Are you talking to people? People are only going to hear about your Lord if you're talking to them. If you're living with them. If you're sharing with them. This is the missionary's motto. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. Word to hearing to faith. Word meaning the message, the gospel. Gospel, hearing, faith. That's the motto. That's what we're going for. All right. Well, God is very good to us. So what do you do with this? What is the missionary mandate? Let me suggest to you 4 things real quick that you can do, should do, must do. Number one, pray. Did Paul say that? He said at the beginning of chapter 9. He said it again at the beginning of chapter 10. He's praying. He's praying for people to get saved. Pray. I don't just mean pray for the people that you, the lost people that you know that need to get saved. Yeah, definitely I mean pray for them. But I mean, pray for the salvation of people groups that you've never met. I know Christians who actually go through lists of groups of people. And when I say people groups, I mean a group of people who have basically the same language, the same religion, have the same basic culture, and that people group could be anywhere from, say, a couple thousand people to a couple million people, okay? But there are entire people groups who have no knowledge of Jesus whatsoever, and there are Christians who are systematically praying through lists of people groups to get folks to come to Jesus in those people groups. They take this prayer thing seriously. Do you?
Yeah.
Do I?
Yeah.
Well, you better hope I do.
I know I do.
Wow, praise God. Let's be sure we all do. Pray, then tell. You know? Talk to people. Talk to people about Jesus. And you know by now that I don't just mean have a good gospel presentation ready to go. I do mean that. Absolutely, I mean that. If you don't know how you would share with someone how to become a Christian, then please talk to me, or talk to Rod, or talk to anybody, talk to Andy, talk to any of the leaders of this church, talk to if Ryan can get back here and get healthy, talk to him, talk to Kelsey, talk to us, and we'll share with you how we share the message with people. But you know what? The method that you use to share the gospel is not nearly as important as just the fact that you are talking to people. You're living life, loving them, and you're talking to them about Jesus. Pray, tell, send. The Southern Baptist Convention has taken some hits over the years. And certainly over the last few months, I took a whole Sunday and talked to you about that most recent issue. You know, there are some people who are saying that they should no longer be Southern Baptists because the Southern Baptists have tolerated or allowed so much abuse to happen in Southern Baptist churches. And we've lost some churches over that. We've lost some money over that. When I say we, I mean the Southern Baptist Convention. Probably several hundred churches just said, we're done. Okay. The other, we've also lost a bunch of churches over the whole COVID thing because either we were too woke or not woke enough. You know, whether the issue is COVID or whether the issue is Black Lives Matter or whatever it is. You know, somebody doesn't like this or doesn't like that and then they're gone. That happens. Pitiful. But it just happens, you know. It happens with members of churches who say, I don't like the way the preacher talks today, and then they're gone. You know? It happens with entire churches who say, I don't like what the Southern Baptist Convention has been doing, and then they're gone. It happens. What are we going to do? Well, in the end, the church will do what the church votes to do. Right now, there's no vote in front of us, but I'll just let you know what my feeling, what my plan, what my perspective is. The whole Southern Baptist Convention got started over an issue that was sinful. It got started so that we could continue to send missionaries who were slaveholders. That's the truth. Okay? In other words, the Southern Baptist Convention has been stained with sin from the beginning. You know what else has been stained from sin from the beginning? Oh, by the way, look at that person sitting down a pew from you. You know what you see? You see somebody who's been stained with sin from the beginning. We all have been. We all have been. The Southern Baptist Convention is the most powerful missionary sending organization in the history of the world. I think I can back that up with facts. We continue to be all about sending missionaries. You continue to give your money to this church, and this church continues to forward the first 8 cents out of every dollar to Southern Baptist missions. You know why? Not because the Southern Baptist Convention is perfect. It's sure not. It's got a lot of work to do, and we've got to get busy fixing things we need to fix them.
Amen.
Nobody's perfect. No group is perfect. No individual is perfect. No sin is unimportant. You can't let someone point sin out and say, yeah, well, we're all imperfect, we're all flawed, so let's ignore it and go on and do what we're doing anyway. No. If someone points out a sin problem, then deal with the sin problem. But don't run and hide. Don't say, oh, these people are too messed up. I'm going to go find people who are less messed up over here. Why don't you all get over here with me and we'll be less messed up than they were over there. You know what? I guarantee you this bunch over here is going to be as messed up as they are. Because you know why? Because we're all sinners. That's what they all are. We all are. Okay? So, my perspective is, this is one way we send missionaries. Is you just give money to this church and it goes to send missionaries. I kind of like that thing. I kind of like that whole thing, what they call the cooperative program. I like the way it works, you know? If you don't send missionaries that way, then what will be your means for sending missionaries? I'd like to hear it. Sure. Yeah, lots of churches do it that way. You know, lots of individual Christians do it that way. And that you can and you should. What my experience is that people who stop supporting the sending of missionaries because they get upset about something usually don't find some other way of sending missionaries. They just put the money in their pocket. You know? So if someone thinks that the Southern Baptist Cooperative Program is not good enough, then fine, let's do something else. But let's do something. Because didn't this just say that they must be sent? Is that exactly what the passage said? How are they going to hear unless someone preaches, and how are they going to preach unless they're sent? How are they going to be sent? Take the money to put food in someone's mouth and put that person on another planet. Well, it might come to that. Put on another continent, you know? So, missionary mandate. Pray, tell, send.
will not go for Jesus if he asks me to. I'm too old. I'm too sick. Too poor. I will not go. Not me. Or if you're a Christian, would you not say, if Jesus were to tell me to go, I would go to the moon. Because he's my Lord. Don't count yourself out by whether you can go with a missionary. You never stand to know. You might find out that Catherine Kaiser is in Moscow next year or something. Telling folks about Jesus. You just never know. You never know. Because just as I came down this aisle, Jesus might come down this aisle and put his hand on you and say, you're gone. And if he does, don't you dare stay. You better go. You better go. Because he's the Lord. And he's what this whole thing is about.